A friend of mine and fellow clergy colleague asked the other day if any of us who were doing the Reckless Love series had noted the irony that we are asking people to recklessly love others in the days of the coronavirus. Had the irony struck me? Really? Huh. Last week we talked about expanding the circle, welcoming others into the life of faith and into this journey with us. And this was the same week that every expert across the globe was shouting at us, keep your distance, don't get too close. Irony? Yeah, you betcha. But here's the thing about love, Christian love. Yeah, we can love up close, face to face. We can love at arm's length. We can even love halfway around the world. The tempter may want us to feel alone and afraid, but that's not how God operates. It's not how we are called to operate. We can begin to battle the fear that the world is throwing at us these days by just taking a few simple steps. Okay, above and beyond washing your hands. But the first step that I want to talk about today is let us all count our blessings. What a great way to counter the fear. Let's look at the ways that we have been blessed. There's a great hymn in the songbook at the nursing home and the assisted living that I wish were in our hymnal. And the first verse and the chorus say, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Friends, God has been at work in your life from the beginning. God has blessed you. God has put people in your life who have nurtured you, loved you, cared for you, and blessed you. Just try to think for a minute who you would be, what your life would be today, if it weren't for those blessings, if it weren't for those people. What would your life be like if you had never experienced their love and through them the love of God? Are you blessed because of them? You bet you are. Once we have taken that time to look at the ways that we have been loved and blessed, once we can see the positive impact that that love has had on our lives, once we begin to develop an attitude of thankfulness to God, then we need to begin to look outward to see how we can impact and bless others with our love, and more importantly, by sharing the love and grace of God. Now, as a matter of fact, this week in our study book, we are called to lavish love on others, to overwhelm the hate and fear of this world with love. Now, the author of our book, Tom Berlin, he kind of equated this lavish love with the greeting he gets from his dog when he comes home at the end of the day. The tail wagging, kissing, jumping, enthusiastic love, right? But in the days of coronavirus, I and the CDC would appreciate it if that's not how you lavish love on others right now. So what does lavish love look like today, this week, in the midst of everyone hunkering down? I think right now we have an amazingly unique opportunity to lavish love in ways that we normally wouldn't. How many of us walk around with a phone in our pocket or our purse most of the day? Come on, I've seen you with your phones. Right? We carry these phones around with us, maybe not 24/7, but pretty close. And yet how often do we actually pick up that phone to talk to someone? Let's pick up those phones. Call our neighbors who don't get out much. Check on them. See how they're doing. See if there are ways that we can help them. Maybe they shouldn't be out. Maybe their systems are compromised. Maybe we could do their grocery shopping for them or pick up their prescriptions for them. Run whatever errands they need to run. Let's call our friends at the nursing home and the assisted living who are on lockdown and who are lonely. Let's reach out to a friend we haven't talked to in a long, long time. Maybe leave a gift certificate for a pizza or a night out for a nurse and their family. Lavish love for our neighbors, for our community, for our healthcare workers can also look like following the suggestions of the self-quarantine as much as we can. It can look like keeping our distance in public from others. It can look like waving instead of shaking hands. Like I talk to the kids, trying to keep our neighbors healthy is a way of loving them. Kindness, thoughtfulness, generosity, large or small, are wonderful ways to lavish love on others. Like our reading from 1 Peter says, be hospitable to one another, serve one another. But our reading from the gospel goes a little bit further. Jesus calls us to love even more lavishly than that. He says it's not enough to love our friends, to love our families, to love those who love us back. Jesus calls us to love our enemies, to not judge others, and to get our own hearts and souls right before we go around trying to tell everyone else how wrong they are. Lavish love asks us to go a step beyond. Jesus' love is indiscriminate. It lands on everyone, the sinner and the righteous alike, the friend and the foe. And friends, I know that's easier said than done. But let me tell you a little story. I was talking to an old college friend of mine the other night, and he told me about a story in a book that he had read. And this story was about a teacher and his student. The teacher was trying to teach his student archery. And so they were out in the woods, and they set up their paper target with the bullseye on it on a tree, and then they paced off their distance. And the student picked up the bow and the arrow, and he drew back, and he tried to aim, and he let that first arrow fly. Well, he missed the bullseye. He missed the paper target. Matter of fact, it hit about two or three trees over. And they tried again, and they tried again, and they tried again. And every time the student was missing by a mile. And so the teacher told him, you know what, let's take a couple of steps forward towards that target. And the student protested and said, you know, that's against the rules, that's not how it's supposed to work. But the teacher insisted. So they went a little closer. And the student drew back and let the arrow fly again. Now he still missed, but by a little bit less this time. And so again, the teacher urged him to get a little closer to the target, and the arrow got a little closer. This went on and on until finally the student was so frustrated, he just wanted to give up. He said, it's hopeless, I can't do it, it's just too hard. And the teacher grabbed him by the arm, and he brought him to just a few arms' length from the target. Try again. Oh, this is ridiculous, I'm too close. What good is this going to do? But this time, the arrow struck the paper target. Not dead center, but it was on the paper. Friends, Jesus is our target. Living like Jesus, loving like Jesus, that's the bullseye. If we have to keep trying to do things on our own from far away from Jesus, it will be too hard. We will miss the mark over and over and over again. We have to get closer to Jesus if we have any hope of getting that bullseye. It doesn't take special skills or special equipment to lavish love on the world like Jesus did. It takes proximity to his love. That, and only that, will help us hit that target. Amen. Would you join with me in our prayer of confession? Holy One, we long to be faithful stewards of your abundant grace, to serve each other in love and humility, to serve your world with wisdom and energy. Forgive us when we stumble over pride, when our words and actions are not guided by love. Turn our hearts when we act in folly. Restore our energy when it is gone. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes, many times, our efforts do fail, but God's abundant grace is strong and it is eternal. And God says that forgiveness is ours.